Hello there and a very warm welcome to this week's official EFL podcast. Leeds Welsh wing wizard Dan James is our very special guest.
We've been playing good football, but you know, there's so many games to go and there's great teams around us and you know, they're not losing at the minute, so we've just got to keep going.
Gary Weaver, he of Sky Sports commentary fame, is back as our co-host. And the Duke, Birmingham's Lukas Djukovic, takes on the 72 in 72. Don't forget to press the follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from so that you never miss a single episode. Or if you prefer, you can watch the show on YouTube every week and see us in all of our splendour. And if you're watching right now, apologies for this bland background. I'm in New Year redecoration mode. Right, let's get going. It's the official EFL podcast. So let's get cracking. This week, Gary Weaver is back for the first time in 2024. Gary, how are we, mate?
I'm all right, Puss. I made it out of outfield in the end. Last time I saw you, wasn't it? I was locked in there. I'm all right, mate.
I'm very, very well. The reason I'm very, very well, you're here, of course, but we've got a very special guest. He's part of a fearsome attacking collective at Leeds United, which has been a joy to watch. It's Welsh international, Dan James. Dan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Wonderful to have you here on the podcast. Gary Weaver, say hello to Dan James because you're working on his game on Sunday, aren't you?
I am, Dan. I'll be commentating on Sunday. I'll put a word with an Andy Hinchcliffe word in for you for play of the match, mate. So we'll try.
That's normally how it works. Please email in if you want to be a player of the match, whatever game's coming up on Sky Sports. Dan, let's get stuck into it. Leeds United currently sat fourth in the Championship. It's been a pleasure to watch, as I said, so far. A lot of expectation on a team that's bounced out of the Premier League, but it looks like you're playing in a team that you're thoroughly enjoying with players that you really do get on with and you get each other's games. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a good mould here. We've been playing great attacking football, football that the fans want to see. And I think we've obviously, you know, we had a little bit of a blip start of the season. We come into our own and, you know, I think around Christmas we had two away losses on the bounce, and obviously it's disappointing. Two games in three days that you've lost, and you know everyone starts to talk a little bit, and you know it was just we had to go into that new year with a win, and you know we've won the last two now, and obviously the FA Cup as well. So yeah, like I say, we're confident at the minute. We've been playing good football, but you know there's so many games to go, and there's great teams around us, and you know they're not losing at the minute, so we've just got to keep going.
I mean, Dan, I mean I say the scary thing, but also from us in the media looking at what is going on at the top end of the Championship, it's a proper duke out, isn't it? You see teams where, but you look at Leicester, obviously slipping up last time out. Ipswich hadn't won in five. They then go and win. Southampton was second for the best part of 2 hours during the course of the weekend. You boys won again. I mean, the level that's being attained by the teams up there is phenomenal to see. Chuck West Brom into that, Coventry City into that as well. I mean, whoever climbs out of this back into the Premier League will have well and truly earned it, wouldn't they, come the end of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've seen a picture of the league table last year of Burnley. And I think at the time, I think we would have been, I'm not sure us or the team of us, would have been top of the league. So it shows, you know, the quality and, you know, you've got the three teams, obviously, who come down from last year, plus Ipswich, who have been doing unbelievable. And you said the Coventry, West Brom.
We can keep going, can't we? Sunderland, Hull, they're all in there.
And I think there's a lot of teams who are playing a lot of football this year and, you know, what fans want to see. And, you know, there's some great contests out there and that's what we want, really. You'd love to just go into every game and think, oh, it's going to be an easy one, but it's not like that wherever you go. So as I said, there's so many games to go, and you know I think that at the minute Southampton on 19 unbeaten run, and they've been excellent. So yeah, fair play to them, and we just got to keep going. I think Leicester have obviously lost the other day. I know they had 10 men, but they started so well, and they've probably the only team that has kept that consistent path, and they've been absolutely brilliant. And you know, everyone's chasing them, and I think yeah, it's been great for us, and you know, the spectators especially enjoyed it this year.
And Dan, as for you and your own game, how do you feel that you've like pushed on this season? What improvements have you made? What kind of coaching have you been given this season from Daniel Farker and his coaches to really push on and add that end product to your game?
I think it was just, you know, at the start of the season, pre-season, I came in a week later and he sat me down and, you know, he just, you know, he spoke to me that, you know, he wants me here and, you know, it's always nice to hear that as a player. I wouldn't say really I've been doing anything different. I always like to welcome my game off the pitch. But I think I've just, you know, just been that little bit more confident, a little bit more selfish, as you say, taking more shots. You look at the top scorers in the league and they're always the ones that take the most shots. You don't shoot, you don't score. So there was games I was coming in the last 2 or 3 years where I had one shot and how do you expect to get goals, you know, where you want to be if you're not taking shots. So, you know, that little bit more selfless, not greedy, but, you know, taking shots on and not always maybe looking for the pass, but for the shot first and looking for that kind of pass second. And you know, we're in a very attacking side as well. We're always gonna get chances, and you know we've got to, you know, be able to take them, and we've just got to continue to do that.
Was that a key thing then, Dan? Being able to be sat with a manager that said, "You know, what I mean, you're part of my plans. I want you to do this." Obviously, he spent time away on loan at Fulham last season. I mean, having been there myself many, many moons ago, you can't underestimate what it feels like to be part of a collective and also be wanted and valued. It seems that Daniel's done exactly that in getting the best performances out of you this year.
Yeah, it does really help you as a player and confidence when you know, a manager or, you know, even players or the staff put the arm around you and just say, you know that, you know, they believe in you and, you know, they know your strengths and they want to use them to the best to help the team. And I think that obviously really helped at the start of the season, and, you know, he's continued to do that. You know, I think the way we play, obviously suits me down to the ground as well.
And Dan, what's it like? You know, when you, obviously we know you're quick, and, you know, when your legs are going...
I mean, that's an understatement, Gary, come on.
Understatement, isn't it?
You're quick.
Rapid. But you know when your legs are going a million miles an hour, but in your brain, you've got to kind of slow down to know what you want to do. How difficult is that? Because obviously I've never had that.
Yeah, no, it is super difficult. I think you look at the best players in the world, you know, when they're traveling at speed and they're still able to, you know, go past a player, you know, take a touch, finish. As a player, you really respect that. And I think sometimes it's hard looking from the outside how hard that is. But yeah, it is really tough because things happen in a split moment when you're going that quick. I know defender might make a challenge where you have to try and get out of the way, and it is tough, and it's something that you have to, you know, keep working on. You kind of get to know things of where, you know, you can be instinctively of making movement, and it is obviously tough.
You've got some great experience already to draw on, Dan, given where you played, obviously domestically. I mean, Leeds fans wouldn't forgive me for saying this, but when you have been at a club the size of Manchester United, universally seen as possibly the biggest club on the planet, and playing international football at the highest level, pressure that comes with playing for Leeds United is something that is part and parcel, isn't it? It's part of your job, your remit, basically, once you put that white shirt on. Is it pressure that you feel? Can you use past experiences to make sure that you can perform under that pressure?
It's obviously a pressure. You know, everyone obviously wants us, you know, to bounce back this year. There's obviously times where it's going to be tough, and, you know, you are under it a little bit. But no, I wouldn't say. I think experience obviously does come with pressure. I think when you're a young lad coming through, like Archie's age, you know, you just play, you know, not playing for fun, but, you know, you take that into consideration as much until you get a little bit older, and then obviously experience starts to help you then as you start maybe becoming a little bit more senior, a bit more responsibility. But no, I wouldn't say I feel the pressure at all. I think, you know, there's times where I have in the past and it gets a little bit under your skin and you start, you know, to become a little bit safe. And I think in...
Your job's not to be safe, is it? The way you play football, your job is not to be safe.
Yeah, I think you get into this kind of moment. And I have before in many moments, and not until kind of I've analysed my game of being like, you know, why am I playing? Why am I in this position? You know, because, you know, I want to, you know, go past players. I want to incite the fans by doing that. And I've looked in the past a few games where, you know, I'm turning down opportunities to go past players or make a cross or make a shot. And it's in my position and, you know, in football in general, safe is dangerous because, you know, you'll be out of the team. And I think obviously pressure sometimes can definitely get to you there. But no, I think experience really helps with that kind of side. And, you know, I don't really feel that pressure anymore. I'm trying to phase that out of my game because, you know, it can take a toll.
And how important is the tracking back, though, that you do, Dan? Because we see it so often with you, that getting through that defensive work. Remember Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying he was amazed one day at Carrington. He saw you race back 60 yards to tackle Martial. And then next thing, you're up on the other end of the pitch scoring a goal in training. But that defensive work, we see it all the time from you. How important is that to you as well as the team?
Yeah, it's really important. I think, you know, the boss always encourages that. I think us as a team, as Leeds United, we need that all over the pitch. It doesn't just help the team, it helps the fans, you know. They love seeing things like that. And I think I've just kind of always, you know, I love that kind of side of the game as well, of as winning the ball back, you know, is just as enjoyable as me as scoring a goal. So I think it's always nice that to help the team. And, you know, I think it obviously helps. I think we've got players all around the pitch, forward players who are selfless, who want to do that. And, you know, that you kind of, that unity really helps you going forward.
You mentioned Archie Gray there, he's just signed a new contract, of course. I mean, Archie Gray is that young and I'm that old that I played football with Archie Gray's dad at Nottingham Forest, which is utterly ridiculous. And there was that wonderful picture that showed him as a mascot standing in front of Sam Byron.
Yeah, it's crazy, that was
mind-blowing. I mean, you're 26, Dan. Archie's 17. What's it? I mean, just give us a quick insight, because he's obviously settled. There's been challenges, there's been a lot of attention because of the name and Leeds United. They're absolutely synonymous, the Grey name at Leeds United. But he seems to be, from the outside looking in, very level-headed, very mature, a good teammate of yours. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, definitely. I think Sam's played here with his dad as well. So, it's crazy to see. I think, obviously, I had my first experience of Archie when he was 15, 16, when I first came here. And I thought, what a player when he first come in, is kind of his movement off the ball kind of remind me of a little bit of how Ramsey was off the ball. You know, them kind of runs in behind. He was strong. You know, he can run all day, but he was still growing into his body then. He still is now. But, you know, as I said, he was about 15 then. And obviously, I've come back this year and, you know, he's really matured. He's still very childlike, but he's 17. And I think that really helps him because he's not phased at all. And you watch him go into tackles. You watch him go 1v1 with players and he's got no fear. He's brilliant. And it's nice to play with him as well. It's nice to kind of not nurture him, but he obviously fullback is not his original position. And I think it took him maybe 3 or 4 games to kind of get used to that role. And I think he's been absolutely brilliant. And yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he was team of the year of, you know, a position that he's played, you know, only this year in his life. He's been absolutely brilliant. As I said, yeah, I've become good friends with him, obviously off the pitch, but we've got a good connection on the pitch now. And, you know, we just want each other to excel on the pitch. And, you know, we have a lot of conversations and he's easy to talk to and he always wants to learn.
In terms of another teammate of yours, Patrick Bamford, were you more surprised by the absolute world-class finish against Peterborough or his blonde hairdo when he turned up with that one? You must have took some stick.
Yeah, probably his blonde hairdo, but yeah. I think the first game he had it done, I'm not sure if it was on Sky, but he's obviously had a hat on for the warm-up. Mm.
Beckham,
the gasp of 36,000 people when he took literally you could hear the whole crowd just gasping.
Some goal, by the way, which he has obviously got, he's got in his locker, hasn't he?
It was incredible. Not a lot of people think to shoot from there, and he swiveled, but he's landed and he swiveled at the same time and still looped over the keeper in the top corner. And yeah, that goal of the season so far, definitely. It'd be hard to beat it.
I'd go along with that. the game that's coming up, Preston, we mentioned on Sunday, Gary Weaver on commentary. Given the reverse result and the drama that was involved in that, is it fair to say that you feel like you owe Preston North End one?
Yeah, I think obviously it was a bit of drama that game. We obviously thought, you know, we'd come back 1-1 and then, you know, they go down the other end and put it top corner. And it was disappointing. You know, after the red card, we obviously worked hard to get back in the game. I thought we controlled it the last 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, we ended up getting a penalty, scoring, and it would have been great to get a point, you know, with 10 men. And but that's what it was. It was obviously tough, and I wouldn't say we owe him one, but obviously, you know, we're looking forward to the game. It's come around really quickly, so, you know, yeah, we are looking forward to it.
The ideal time to put it right. Gary, have you done all your preparation? Have you gleaned any little tidbits from Dan in this chat?
Dan, do you know what? I'll ask you one more question, maybe. That's okay.
What's the team?
What's the team? What's the score going to be? No, you know, in terms of when you play against teams that will sit deep, how difficult is it to try and break them down when they do sit deep?
I think
against you.
Yeah, I think it's hard for any team when teams sit deep. You just got to be patient with the ball, trust your players on the ball. You know, keep having the right processes. I think it always becomes difficult when you kind of come out of that. You know, it's not working. And everyone kind of drifts everywhere and the shape goes, and that's when it, you know, becomes hard to defend counterattacks when people are kind of in any position. But the boss always tells us just trust the processes, and you know, it's you've just got to keep wearing teams down, and we're always going to get opportunities, and you know, it might be less than when people are sitting, but we've got to be ready to take them.
Well, good.
Brilliant. That's it. Info gleaned now.
You're doing that. Okay. Dan, it's been a pleasure for you to join us, mate. Sorry we interrupted your jerk chicken at the canteen. Will it still be there, or will Georgie Ruta have demolished your plate, or anyone thrown it away?
He would.
Dan, thank you so much, mate. We wish you all the best for the rest of the season. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Weaver, you can take a break.
Yes.
Now we head over to... We've got a fearsome competition now. You can keep your masterminds, your deal or no deals, and your gladiators. This is the 72 in 72. And for this week, please step forward, Lukas Jukovic.
Hi, I'm Lukas Jukovic, and this is the 72 in 72. Accrington, Birmingham City, Blackburn Rovers, Blackpool, Cheltenham, Carlisle, Derby, Gillingham, Huddersfield Town, Ipswich Town, where are we going now? Leeds United, Macclesfield, Mansfield, Notts County, Portsmouth, Reading, Southampton, where are we going now? Let's go back up here. Plymouth. Who do we play at the weekend? Rotherham. Who do we play? Coventry. I'm going all over the place now. Southend, Cambridge. Oh no, Southend aren't EFL, are they? Barnet, are they still in there? No. Struggling. Pressure's a real thing. Swindon, Sheffield Wednesday, QPR.
So the Duke there, Lukas Jukovic, the evergreen Birmingham City forward. We're laughing at Gary Weaver. You can say evergreen.
It's just your face.
Laughing at my face. So he scored very respectable 23. Matt Smith, unassailable, currently at the top. Richie Wellens is second. Pete Wilde, Wayne Rooney, Ebu Adams, John Coleman, Mark Albrighton, Joe Bryan, Lukas Jukovic in at 9, Liam Rossini at 10, Matt Bloomfield, Andrew Moran, Valerian Ishmael, Alfie May, Gary Rowett, Stuart Dallas, Ruben Colwell, and propping up the table, Aaron Ramsey. I always say that as if that's going to change at some point, but until we get somebody worse, poor old Aaron will be propping up that particular table.
It could happen.
That was almost kind of pop pickers of a certain generation doing the top 20 there, wasn't it? Right, let's get back to football and me not talking utter rubbish, which sometimes can go hand in hand, Gary Weaver. You know that very, very well.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw a statement victory at the weekend Coventry City against Leicester City. Now, Leicester City, we're going to come on to in just a couple of minutes, but come on, let's open the floodgates. Let's talk about them. I know there's a certain strata on Twitter/X that say that we don't talk about them enough. So here we go. Let's shine a light. There's going to be so much pressure on these players to stay, on the manager to stay. Mark yeah. Robbins, Callum O'Hare, tell us what you know, Gary, with the wonderful outline.
Well, look, in terms of Coventry, I've followed them, commentated on them since League Two, obviously won the Johnston Paints promotion, nearly got mm-hmm. to the Premier League. Brilliant story under Mark Robbins. We've said about a statue being outside there for him. AD Vivash's assistant as well, and his coaching staff. But Prutz, I mean, look, Coventry have come from nowhere in terms of the league table, like they did last season. But if you looked at their underlying metrics as the season was going on, you knew they were coming. If you looked at that, you thought, hang on, they're rising up the table here. Everything that they wanted to achieve, they were achieving. Results, obviously, the big thing, not really at the start of the season, but they had to get over the loss of Harmer and Jokeres, as we know. I mean, you look at Victor Jokeres, Prutz, he went for, what was it, 10 million? Now talk of Chelsea trying to get him for 60 million from Sporting, and you think, well, why didn't you go for him in the first place? He was at Coventry. But obviously, they had to do all that, get over that. Callum O'Hare coming back has given the whole place a lift, if it needed a lift as well. They obviously need to hold on to him. But what Coventry are doing year after year, we've been saying it for six, seven years now under Mark Robbins. It's phenomenal. And the story continues. And, you know, you wonder whether they can do it this year. But to get into the top six from where they started, really, if you think about it, again, is incredible. But Mark Robbins doesn't scream and shout, does he? And
maybe that's why sometimes the spotlight... Is that the key to the success, then? Is it that balanced... I mean, we saw at the end of the full-time whistle. I'd say it was a smile, but it was just where the side of your mouth just kind of goes up a little bit. So that was a smile thing.
It's such... Do you know what, Prutz? They've got such a chemistry, him and AD Vivash. I speak to AD quite a lot, and I've known him since the Chelsea under-21 days when he was a coach there, and he brought through some brilliant talent. They were teammates at Warsaw, I think it was. But AD is, you know, he does a lot of the coaching. You know, Mark is hands-on when he needs to be. But the chemistry they have with the other staff as well, it's brilliant. I can only imagine it's a really, really good place to work. And as you say, and as we said about Mark Robbins, he doesn't shout on the rooftops. He's not bothered about fame. He's not bothered about getting the adulation. He just wants to get his team up to the Premier League. And if they do that, I mean, you could pit it alongside Luton in terms of achievements just because of everything they've been through as well.
Another man that we would put in that kind of low-key bracket is Kieran McKenna. Now, they needed to get back to winning ways because of the standards that they set. I mean, this is kind of relative, isn't it? Again, if you'd have given Ipswich Town second spot for the majority of the season, they'd have taken it before the ball was kicked. But for a couple of hours at the weekend, they dropped out of the top two for the first time since September, and they had to come from a goal behind to do it against Sunderland. How much does that set them up for their next game, which is a humdinger at Leicester City?
Well, I was there on Saturday. We did the game on Saturday. At the end, I saw Kieran McKenna, correct me if I'm wrong, celebrate like I've not seen him celebrate before. Now, they were, if you think about it, Prutz, the last time Ipswich won a league game was mid-December when they beat Watford. They were 12 points ahead of Southampton that day. So Southampton have obviously kept on going, closed the gap. That was a big question asked of them on Saturday, even psychologically, that for the first time since, I think it was 23rd of September, you're out the top two. Ipswich answered, didn't they? They fell behind in that game as well when Jack Clark scored for Sunderland. But he's another one. He doesn't panic. I spoke to someone at the club. He's very close to him, his analyst, ahead of that game. And he said all the metrics were hitting. Again, the underlying stats were still hitting them. So the same targets were being hit game after game, yet they weren't winning. The only problem or game where they were concerned was the Queen's Park Rangers performance. But even though they were drawing games, obviously there was the loss too against West Brom, they weren't really panicking because Kieran McKenna doesn't do panic. And if you think about it, Cameron Burgess is away. Sam Morsey's been suspended. George Hurst, long term now, so they're looking for a striker. Sam Gallagher, I know they've been knocking on Blackburn's door for Sam Gallagher. And Leif Davis was out for a bit as well. So they're key players that they were missing. They've got through it by the looks of it. Now comes this huge game against Leicester.
Good time to play Leicester.
But as you say, if... potentially, yeah. I mean, albeit they're on the back of a defeat, aren't they? And I know they're obviously, you know, not at full power because of the players at AFCON. And suspension and injuries too. Potentially, I just think Ipswich will go there and just play their game, play their way, as will Leicester. I did the first game at Portman Road. Ipswich definitely deserved the points that night. It was boxing night, wasn't it? If I remember rightly. But no, it should be a cracker.
Should be a cracker, and it's one of several live games across the weekend. It begins on Friday, Sunderland against Hull City. Now, a point for Sunderland, takes them into the top six.
Yeah.
Michael Beale has been there for a handful of games. But, I mean, can you tell me what's going on? You've spoken to Michael. He understands the size of the job. Are they?
Yeah.
There seems to be a little bit of discontent with the Black Cats fans.
Look, I think the problem is, Prutz, the way Tony Mowbray left. You know, we spoke about that on the podcast before. It wasn't to do with performances. It wasn't to do with results. Tony just felt he needed a bit more experience. But Sunderland are dead set on doing it this way. You know, I spoke to Michael Beale last week before the game against Ipswich, and he said this way is a hugely challenging way to try and get to the Premier League. But he's prepared to embrace the challenge. That's why he's taking the job. He just wants to coach, but after what happened at Rangers, you know, he said to me, look, the Queen's Park Rangers Wolves situation, when he turned Wolves down, did the interview at Queen's Park Rangers, a club interview where he said about loyalty, next thing Glasgow Rangers come calling. Now, he did turn them down when Stephen Gerrard left. But he felt he couldn't turn him down again. His family situation, they were moving back to Glasgow anyway before he got the Rangers job. So, you know, he took a lot of stick over taking the Rangers job. And of course, his time there, you know, some of the people that brought him in left. The transfer department left, a lot of them. So his job changed a bit. He felt he should have been given more time because of the amount of players that moved in and moved out in the summer. And so I just said to him, look, do you think you've got a point to prove? He straight away said 100%. And what he's going to do at Sunderland is the structure is there for him just to coach. And that's what he wants to do. That's his strength. He just wants to get his head down. He wants to coach. He hasn't brought anyone with him just in terms of staff. He's known Mike Dodds for quite some time. He recommended Mike Dodds to Liverpool, actually, when he was working at Liverpool not so long ago. But yeah, he just wants to coach. He gets the enormity of the club. This is a big challenge, Prutz, isn't it? Trying to get to the Premier League with young players, and knowing those young players, if they do well, will leave the club. It's a difficult way of doing it, but that's the way Sunderland want to go to be sustainable.
Fascinating weekend as well, because that game is on Friday. We've got Swansea against Southampton at lunchtime on Saturday. Yeah. Russell Martin, of course, going back to a place he knows very well with a team that's unbeaten in 19 and really chasing down second spot. Leeds against Preston on Sunday, given the drama back at Deepdale. I think Leeds United may other one, even though Dan James earlier on in the podcast dialed that down a little bit.
You tried to suggest that, didn't you? You did your best there, Bruce.
The straightest bat, so fair play. Well done to you, Dan. And then, of course, Monday night, you've got Leicester against Ipswich, a game where Ipswich could go into it not being in the top two once again. The pressure swings back on to them. Right, that's the Championship. We're going to dip into Sky Bet League One now. And just at the top of discussing this, we've really got to pay tribute to Ian Purslow, the Bolton Wanderers fan, who sadly passed away in the game against Cheltenham. The game obviously was abandoned, and quite rightly so. Wonderful tributes coming out about Ian and what type of person he was. A lifelong Bolton Wanderers fan. I think the club have covered themselves in glory as well, dealing with it in a very classy and respectful way. Just our sincere condolences and thoughts and best wishes with Ian's family and friends and everyone connected with them. It seems slightly early to talk about the frivolity of football off the back of that, but it really does give us a sense of perspective. We're going to come on to Reading.
But he was a football man. He was a football man, but you know, he loved his football.
We'll come on to Reading in just a moment, because things are not remotely running smoothly there. But let's just touch at the top end of the table and Peterborough. Peterborough in this chat with regards to winning the division, getting promoted out of the division. It's a real sweet spot, isn't it, for Darren Ferguson and this particular football club. They know how to do it, and they seem now to be moving through the gears, Gary, to be in the position to do it once again.
Well, Darren says this could be the best team he's had
at
Peterborough. After that night at Sheffield Wednesday in May, he was on the phone to Darren McAntony. They're both on the phone to each other straight away and saying, right, so Darren made the call and just said, right, we need to go young. The players likes of Jack Taylor, Johnson Clark-Harris, we can now move on from them. Ronnie Edwards was due to go in the summer potentially as well at West Ham, matched evaluation. But he said, we're going to go young, because he said he needed the motivation as well to build a new team. They're ahead of where he thought they'd be. I mean, some of the football they play, I saw them at Derby County on New Year's Day in the flesh. Brilliant. Great game. The football they play is fantastic. That front four of Poku, Randall, Mason Clark and then Ricky J. Jones up front, they're thrilling to watch when they're at full tilt, which is why they kind of moved away from Johnson Clark-Harris, if you like, as a regular starter, which again is a big call. But something that Peterborough do, they re-energise, they rejuvenate. It's amazing how they do it. And Darren McAntony will always get the money in for the players that, you know, he wants to sell. Yeah, so Ronnie Edwards, as I say, his beloved West Ham came in with about 3 bids in the summer. But Darren was like, look, the money's not right yet. Come back in January if you need to. And, you know, we're expecting him to go in January. But Peter were just just move on. And from what happened in May, Peterborough fans are fed up about us talking about it, but it is important because I've never seen a team so on the floor, and rightly so after what happened. To be where they are now is fantastic. We had Darren Ferguson straight on the phone to Dara after that game. I'm staying. I want to build a new team. Here's how we do it.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating battle, isn't it? You see Portsmouth, their result against Leyton Orient, well beaten at the weekend, which then leaves Peterborough a game in hand behind them, 1 point behind them. Got to mention Derby County and the form that they're in. Bolton back in fourth, just a couple of points off the top with three games in hand. Sorry, there goes my really good maths on Pompey at the top. A little further down, well, actually, sadly for the fans involved, quite a way further down, we find Reading. A game that was called off at the weekend against Port Vale.
Yeah.
A real collective show of football fan unity, it felt like, with regards to the reaction from the Port Vale side of things. Obvious discontent, which is an understatement in the extreme to say, with regards to the ownership of that particular football club. What's the latest? What can you see? Are there any kind of shafts of light for Royals fans to look toward?
Well, first of all, I think the course of action they took on Saturday, I mean, that is pretty much the nuclear option, isn't it? That is almost the last thing you can possibly do to try and get on and get a game abandoned. And as you mentioned, Prutz, the Port Vale fans applauded them as well, because I always say at every podcast I'm on, we're all football fans. You can, you know, you can't imagine being in that situation, to be fair, that the Reading fans find themselves in at the moment. The situation is this. The EFL have obviously said this week to the owner, either fund this club adequately or sell up. So I think what happened on Saturday with the protest and the abandonment of the game, it was covered all over the world, Prutz. So the Reading fans who maybe felt they weren't being heard in the media and their club was in demise, this has now happened. So Dai Young, the owner who took over in 2017, he says he's instructed lawyers to sell the club. Nigel Howe, who is the former chief executive, who I've spoken to many times in the past, he's involved in terms of with the lawyers to try and get the sale of the club done. You know, he's got Reading at his heart, in his heart, Nigel Howe. I've spoken to him many times. You know, this has been coming for a long time, but when Veljko Paunović was in charge, if Reading didn't go up that particular season, this was going to come. But hopefully there is some movement now, because Reading need to stay alive. They have to keep that club going. So the EFL have been strong in their statement to the owner, and it looks like something should be moving, because there are apparently interested parties, and you'd like to think there would be interested parties. Mm. That's the thing, isn't it? If you're told to sell a club, or you've got to sell a club, you've got to have a buyer.
That's selling a house, isn't it? Thing, I mean, it can be worth X amount, but if no one's prepared to pay that for it, it's meaningless.
I know. But you just hope for Reading that this gets done now, because surely enough's enough.
It's been very long, very convoluted, and there's some real detail to dial down in. Unfortunately, right here and now, we don't have the minutes available to get into that, because that is a podcast in itself, isn't it? Got to mention in dispatches Cheltenham Town and the form that they find themselves in. When Darryl Platt took over, they were miles off it.
Gone. Gone.
That long, barren spell in front of goal. They now find themselves just 3 points away from safety. Exeter just outside of the relegation places. They're just behind Reading on goal difference. I mean, as jobs go, as transformations go, that's across the EFL. There can't be many better.
In terms of what Tarrell's done, do you know what, Brooks? It's not surprising, though, is it? As soon as he went in, because of his past, what he's done at Bristol Rovers, you know, Port Vale. I said at the time, it's sad the way it ended at Port Vale, really, between he and Vale. As soon as he went in, because I thought they were gone, but because we were talking week after week about them not scoring goals, right? I mean, you've got to score a goal first before you even go near winning a game. I thought they were gone, but then suddenly Darryl goes in, you say, actually, if anyone can lift and galvanise a squad, definitely him. Also, Adam Murray's gone in there as well. Adam, who was alongside Valerian Ismail at Barnsley and West Brom and Besiktas, so he's in there with them as well. Unbelievable what they've done to put them within touching distance. And those ahead of them will be looking over the shoulder now thinking, hang on, we thought they'd gone.
the discomfort that feels from teams doing well around when you're down there is palpable. And I've been there, mate. It's awful. We're going to dip.
I imagine you have.
And we always ended up on the wrong side of it. League Two now. Your top is Stockport County, Wrexham behind them, Mansfield, Barrow Crew, Notts County and MK Dons. A brief mention with Wrexham, given the fact that a goal was scored at the weekend, a Stephen Fletcher goal with a James McLean ball into the box, just a reference of just who they've got at their disposal, which is amazing, really. Quick touch on Notts County Grimsby, or Grimsby Notts County, 5-5, ever worked on a game like that?
I tell you, it's one of those games where you hope there's a scoreboard, don't you?
Are you feverishly writing down who scored what when? Because you've got to round it up, haven't you?
I don't tend to do when. I should do really, but I write down the score on the score. I remember once doing it was in the Premier League years ago, Bolton Everton, and I think Lewis Hart scored for Everton. I went 2-1, 3-1. It was a last count, and that wasn't that many goals. You hope there's a scoreboard. I mean, if you're doing a live game, obviously we got the corner box score, haven't we?
Which does help a lot.
But if not, you hope there's a scoreboard just in case you forget what the score is.
It's fascinating. And knowing what a keen note taker you actually are, I can just picture you doing that. I mean, when an equaliser as well comes in the very last minute in the form of Harry Wood, who was on loan, of course, from Hull City, and the absolute scenes that go with it. We've kind of lent on things not going well for clubs in a couple of chats so far on the podcast. Troy Deeney, I spoke to Juliet Ferrington about this week after his post-match remarks off the back of a result that he didn't quite understand.
Yeah.
It was that one was a draw. Another week, another set of remarks, another set of post-match comments, which in the media, sometimes we get the straight bat, sometimes you get managers not really saying it, using a lot of words, shall we say, but not really telling us anything.
Yeah.
You can't level that at Troy, can you? I mean, particularly the way that he talks about Fantaki Darbo, and he's since rode back from it. We've got to mention that, of course, that he's kind of said, I've gone over the top with regards to statements about the players and individuals. Is this a rookie manager showing us what it's like under the spotlight? Is this a man that needs to evolve pretty quickly? Because we've both worked with him, we've covered his games, he's been wonderful company.
Yeah. I find it difficult sometimes, Sprutz, because as a football fan, obviously you can go too far. I'm sure he was on one of our shows, wasn't he, the next day saying, apologise for that, I might have gone over the top. So, yeah, obviously didn't go over the top. However, I think you should speak honestly. One of the people I used to dread interviewing, if I can say this on here, just because if his team lost, it was difficult to get something out of him, was David Moyes, right? And it was like, you know, he's great to talk to off mic, but then if his team lost, he felt how I would feel as a fan. He didn't really want to talk. He was annoyed, you know what I mean? And Troy, as a player, will come out and as a person and speak honestly. And okay, maybe, you know, I've heard coaches say this quite a lot, criticise the action, not the player. So criticise, okay, the action of maybe, I don't know what's gone wrong there, but not the actual player, if you like, the character and stuff. I think Troy, he'd probably become a little bit more guarded. But, you know, I just think in general, if a manager wants to come out and speak honestly, obviously there's certain parameters you've got to stay within. Then why not? Because don't forget, Prutz, what I would say to you, Prutz, is when we're in there doing those post-match interviews, you know, I don't do that many anymore, but I've done loads, right? It's a very difficult arena to be in with a losing manager.
Are you already on the back
very
foot?
Very difficult.
Then? Because you've got to. That first question's.
You can be.
All
depends who it is.
Good, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll find a lot of the time, the first question will be, you know, what was your verdict on that? What did you make of that? That's because you're trying to gauge the mood of the manager and whether they are seeing what you're seeing or what you've seen, what kind of mood they're in. I mean, I remember in Alan Pardew once, what went wrong there? And as the words came out, I thought, why did he say that? But he was all right with me. To be fair, he went, oh, right, okay, well, this went wrong. So you want honesty from your manager, but obviously, you know, he doesn't want to criticise the players too much publicly. And as I said before, that coach's quote that I've seen or been told many times, criticise the action, not the player. But Troy's always spoken from the heart. I hope he continues to, but obviously if he feels he's overstepped the mark, then, you know, he's obviously got to rein back
just
in.
Just to round it off with our theme of managers in League Two, one out the door, two incoming. Michael Flynn at Swindon has moved on. We've got Sutton United appointing Steve Morrison and the Cowleys in at Colchester. Let's do that in order. Swindon, what's your thoughts with Michael moving on?
Tricky one. Start of the season was good, wasn't it? They didn't get beat till October. They had Jake Young scoring goals on loan from Bradford. That was spoken about heavily at Bradford. Then he went back. Difficult run. I think he'd only signed a new contract, hadn't he? 74 days before he's left. And they're looking, I think, for the fifth permanent manager in 3 years now. So it's pretty unstable there. But as I say, they started well enough. Difficult run of late. And Michael will know that sometimes you can't survive that run. But losing the likes of Jake Young and also the fact that their defensive record is really bad, isn't it? Second worst in the league. It'd be interesting to see who goes in there now and who Swindon turns to next.
So Steve Morrison in at Sutton and the Cowleys in at Colchester. Well, I mean, does the Cowleys to Colchester one surprise you with due respect paid to both parties?
Do you know what, Prutz? I don't know, because I know he was obviously desperate to get back in because he's a football manager and you know, his brother's part of it as well. I know they've spoken to Bradford City earlier this season. They were quite far down the line with that. But I think geography had a part to play in it as well in terms of why he didn't take that job in at Bradford in the end. That had a part to play. He lives on the south coast. I know Colchester's still a fair way
still south a bit of a
coast as well. Because you know I that, do. Don't you? You've I been do. There. But yeah, I think it's a good shout for Colchester, mm-hmm. to be fair. And if you see the couple of results he's had so far, I think they've come from behind on both occasions, haven't they? They've had to tough it out, which, all right, he doesn't want to be conceding goals and going behind, but it shows a bit of character in the team that he'll be looking forward to try and build on top of that. So I think it's a good shout back for Colchester.
And to round it off, Big Steve, in at Sutton United, I thought, obviously, given what we've seen from Steve Morrison so far, potentially hard done by with regards to the Cardiff City situation and what the kind of parameters of the job were. But again, another one who seems committed to this vocation.
Yeah. I spoke to him after he left Cardiff City and he was hurt, cut deep, that the Cardiff City situation. Although they did try and get him back, didn't they? Last summer, I think it was. But yeah, you know, he wants to play a certain way. A certain style of football that he was trying to introduce at Cardiff City, which is why they signed Ryan Allsopp, a goalkeeper who's excellent with his feet, who's now at Hull. Obviously, the hierarchy wanted to go a different way in the end. He dipped into non-league football with Hornchurch. Now he's at Sutton. Again, could be a great appointment after Sutton in terms of it's a difficult job trying to stay in the league now from where they are. But he likes a challenge, doesn't he, Steve? And I think, from having spoken to him, I haven't spoken to him for a while, but when he left Cardiff, I spoke to him, I know he'll feel he's got a point to prove.
Tough job, as you say. 6 points from safety is where Sutton find themselves. Forest Green at the bottom, a point behind Sutton. Gary Weaver, your company's been wonderful. Where are you this week? What are you up to? Who are you covering?
I'm going to Leeds United on the journey over to Andy Hinchcliffe. I'll have to say Dan James wants man of the
straight
match
away.
Player of the match, as we were saying before. Yeah, and I'm going to try and release you from that building at your input. I'll find you. Are you okay there?
If you are a regular watcher on YouTube, and thank you very much if you are, get yourself involved in that. Click the link, subscribe. My background is bleak. I understand that completely. I'm in between where I'm placing this podcast recording. It's obviously acoustics come into it. The background comes into it. It's so bland.
You've changed. You used to be a player.
Let's be honest. This is like the original Zoom calls from March 2020 when we're all looking around going, what do you do with the background? And then all the footballers got...
Where do we place our screen?
All the footballers got exactly the same background, didn't they? Decorated by exactly the same people, all in those different shades of grey.
Get some shirts out.
I'll get some shirts out purely for you, my friend. But as ever, Gary Weaver, you've been a pleasure. Well, that's us done for this week. A huge thank you to my esteemed guests, Leeds Dan James, Sky Sports, Gary Weaver, and Lukas Djukovic with his 72-72. Hopefully you've enjoyed the latest instalment. And if you have, then please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts or watch It's All Unfold right here on YouTube. I guarantee you'll love it. My name's David Prutton, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.